message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Matthew 28 from verse 18 to 19. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Tonight the topic is above only via soul winning. Above only via soul winning. Above only via soul winning. Soul winning is very, very important. Every believer is called and sent to win soul. When you receive Jesus, you do not only receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Ghost coupled with your assignment on earth. And that assignment is to win soul. Irrespective of your age, irrespective of your color, irrespective of your height, everybody is called to preach the gospel, to win soul. Everybody is called. So it's not so many. It's not a duty of a pastor alone. It's not a duty of evangelists alone. It's not a duty of prophets alone. It's the duty of all the Christians. Jesus is speaking to all of us here. That go and win souls. Christians are supposed to bear fruit. According to Jesus in John 15 verse 16, he said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I ordain you that you should go and bear fruit." He said, "And that your fruit may remain." So Jesus sent us to win soul. He said, "We should go and bear fruit." What fruit is he talking about? The fruit of a Christian is not love, is not joy, is not peace. That is not the fruit of a Christian. Love, peace, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit of a Christian. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. When a Christian can produce another Christian, then you have a fruit. And the Lord Jesus has commissioned us. The Lord Jesus has commissioned us to bear fruit. Then what is soul winning? When we say soul winning, we mean that the bringing of a lost soul. Soul winning is the bringing of a lost soul into saving contact and vital relationship with the Lord Jesus. Let me come again. Soul winning is bringing of a lost soul into saving contact and vital relationship with the Lord Jesus. To know him as personal Lord and Savior. I believe that there is clear difference between soul winning and evangelism. Soul winning and evangelism is the first step to soul winning. What does it mean to win soul? Number two, to win soul means to catch the soul of a sinner for the Lord and to be planted in a local church. When you win soul, you catch the soul of that person. You rescue that person from hell. You rescue that person from the hand of the devil. And then you place it in the hand of God and the person is planted in church. Very, very important. The reason is because, you see, I used to wonder why some Christians do not understand that they should have a church. I don't know why they don't understand that church is God's spiritual family on earth. Just like you have physical family, you have a spiritual family called the church. The day you were born, you joined the human race. The same way, the day you born again, you join God's kind of life. However, when your mother gave back to you, when my mother gave back to me in the hospital, I wasn't born in the hospital anyway, I was born in the CAC church. What do they call them? Mission house. Praise the Lord. I was born in a mission house. The day my mother gave back to me in a mission house, she can decide to leave me there. If she leaves me there, another person will carry me. And if another person carried me, so I've now become the part of that family. If nobody carries me from the hospital bed, I have no family and I might die. Because I'm exposed to all sorts of danger. I'm exposed to starvation. I'm exposed to all sorts of evil. The same way with Christians. The day you get born again, you are enrolled in the kingdom. So you need to be planted in a church for you to be nurtured, for you to be nourished, for you to be filled. This is very, very important. So when you go out and win soul, that you must ensure that that soul is planted in a local church so that that person can grow to maturity. So this is soul winning. Soul winning, I mean, it involved you going out, talk to people, preach to them about Jesus Christ, follow them up, and ensure that they become mature in Christ. And the life of God is formed in them. Shout hallelujah. Importance of soul winning. Number one importance of soul winning is that if soul winning is important because of the peril of the lost soul or the dangers of the lost soul. Everyone that do not have Jesus as their Lord and Savior is ordained for destruction. In John chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus made a statement. He said, "He that believeth on me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." He said, anybody that doesn't know Jesus is condemned already. So, one of the importance of soul winning is because of the peril of the lost soul, because they are already condemned. Jesus used another word. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Mark 16, verse 16. He said, "He that believeth is baptized, am baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not is damned." This word that Jesus used is very, very powerful. That word means that the person is already sentenced to hell. Anybody that doesn't believe Jesus says is already sentenced to hell. It also means the person is out of favor. Also, it means that the person is ruined. The person, you are just seeing a living corpse, empty, big for nothing. The person is ruined. It doesn't matter, they may look successful, but in the eyes of God, they are not. That word is also a negative term, and it means invalid. When you present an evidence in the law court, and I say, no, this is invalid. Or when you bring a charge against somebody, I say, they nullified it. So when the person appears before God, God will say, "You are damned. You are unqualified. You are unfit, illegal." A soul that is not saved is condemned. And the Bible tells us that we are the one responsible for their salvation. We are the one responsible. Revelation 14 verse 11 said that those who do not know Jesus, he said, they are subject to torment forever and ever. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast. When they get to hell, this is their destiny. So then your roommate that does not know Jesus, my friend, you are living with a living dead. You are living with a soul that is already condemned. What will you do about him or her? Preach the gospel to him. Preach the gospel. Work on him or her to ensure that a person is saved, because it's around you for you to preach to him or her. Praise the Lord. You know, if you read Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 12, you see the state, the conditions of the lost soul. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, you see Jesus, the word of God, Paul gave us. He was talking to Ephesians churches and he was telling them their state before they became born again. So he now said that at that time, that is before you became born again, and so it's still relevant for people who are not born again. He said, "For at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." In other words, they are detached from kingdom benefit. Say they are detached, they are alien with it, and stranger from the covenant of promise. That is why somebody who is not born again, devil can kill him anytime, because they are not under protection. They are not under covenant. Now say, having no hope. The hope he's talking about is not the hope of a bright future or of getting a new job or buying a new car. No. He's talking about the hope for eternity. You know what Paul said? He said, if Christ did not resurrect. He said that means our hope is in vain. But thank God that Jesus resurrected. So those guys did not have hope. He now said, and without God in the world, they may claim that they have God. Brothers and sisters, they do not have God. They may be religious and be praying, but no, God know them not. Because at the end of the day, Jesus will say, I know you not. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I say, God, but we preach in your name. We even pray to you. No, I know you not. Because they are not registered in the heaven's record. They are not counted among us. So when we see them, you see person who is already condemned. We see person who is already annihilated from the covenant of God. We see somebody who is without hope. We see somebody who is without God. We see somebody who is already throwing the path of hell. So it's our duty to preach to them. It's our duty to convert them. Number two, what is the importance of soul winning? It is because of the values of soul. The values of soul. In the eyes of God, soul is very, very precious. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, from verse 36 to 37, said, what shall profit a man after he has gained the whole world? After he has gained the world and lose his soul. Verse 37 said, what can he use in the exchange of his life? So the whole world at his way cannot be equated with the life of any man. One soul is more valuable than the entire world in the presence of God. So because of the values of the soul, this pushes us to win soul. It places necessity on us to win souls because it's our duty. Number three, it is important because of the price that Jesus paid for the souls of men. Because of the price that Jesus paid for the souls of men. 1 Peter 1, if you read from verse 18 to 19, the Bible tells us that Jesus paid with his own precious blood. Jesus had to shed his blood. You know what they used to do in the holy days? What they do is that they use ram, just as they do now, in other parts of the region, and then they kill it, and that is an atonement for sin. It will only cover up sin for 1 year. The maximum expiration is just 1 month, 1 year. But this thing is not working. God, look at it. It's not working. It's not working. I need a permanent solution. Now, he said his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And that is why we refer to him as the Lamb of God. The Bible called him the Lamb of God. And then on that day when he was arrested and he was nailed on the cross, when he was laying on the cross, he cried out because he has the support of the Father every time. But when he was laying on the cross, God carried the sins of the whole world and placed upon him. And with that sin, they laid him on the cross. And as they laid on the cross, the burden was too much for him. And if the Father looked at him, and because the Father is so holy, he cannot be all iniquity if God turned his back against him. And Jesus cried out, say, Father, why are thou forsaking me? Why did you forsake me? God said, oh, I forsook you because I cannot behold iniquity. Only you carry the sins of the whole world. And his blood was shed. And when the blood was shed, Jesus went into the hell. And devil saw him. He looked at him and said, oh, so you later came. And then they chained him. Because he came into the hell like a criminal. And he was there, subject to torment. And suddenly, because the sin of the world was placed upon him and he has shed his blood, God invested power on him. And the power of hell cannot turn him down anymore. And then suddenly the chain broke and Jesus resurrected. And before he resurrected, he said it on the cross. He said, it is finished. Your sin is paid for. Shout hallelujah, somebody. No matter how dirty, no matter how worse your case may be, the power of God is available for salvation. It does not matter how far they must have gone in sin. It does not matter the crime they must have committed. The day, the Bible says, if a man is born again, he is a new creation. The Bible says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What made that possible is the blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus that was shed on the Calvary. Jesus died. He exchanged his life for our life. And that is why we must preach the gospel everywhere. We must preach the gospel because we have what can save the souls of men. There is nothing in the world can save the soul. Nothing in the world can save the soul of men. You can only build your body. If you like, you can change your body type. It's possible. Science has made it possible. If you like, you can transition. You say, I don't want to be a man again, which is not okay for you anyway. But people do it. Hallelujah. You can decide, I want to hard weight. And then you have weight. If you are, you have weight, you say, I want to shed weight. And you become thinner. This is possible. You can be a male and turn to a female. You can be a female and turn to a male. You can decide, I don't like this skin again. I want to carry a baby face. And you carry it. It's possible. They can do anything with that. And if you like, they can also do something with your mind. I mean, diabolically, they can turn the mind against you and be doing rubbish things. You can develop your mind and become genius. And become, your reasoning can be so high. But you know what? Nobody has the power to save soul. Nobody. Only Jesus have the power to save soul. Only Jesus. And you can only find that in Christianity. It cannot be found in any religion. Come on, shout hallelujah to the name of the Lord. If you are happy, jam your beautiful hands together for Jesus and celebrate God. Number four. Why is so many so important? It is important because of the product is produced. The product that is produced is amazing. That all of a sudden a sinner is turned to saint. And then a sinner suddenly become a righteous. Can he become righteous before the Lord? A sinner who is already condemned is now declared justified before the Lord. Joy is available because the Bible says that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that is saved. Then the joy comes because of the fruit he produced. Not only that, it also cleanses us. I love the word of Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 3. Jesus says, you are already cleaned because of the word that I have spoken unto you. Why? Because the word is pure water. The word is the word that washes you. You know why it is important for you to always come to church? Because when the word comes to you and you receive it, it washes you. No matter the sin you carry, if you receive it into your heart, it washes you. When a sinner comes, it washes you. I have preached to a lady who came out from her boyfriend's house, just committed fornication, and I met her and I preached to her. And as I preached to her, if as a matter of fact, we met in the restaurants, and as I preached to her, I heard her hand, and I prayed, and as she began to pray, this lady busted into tongues, and I was amazed. He told me, he said, what happened to me? I said, what happened? You receive Holy Ghost. He said, how can I receive Holy Ghost? I just came back from my mother's house. I just committed. I said, it doesn't matter. You just receive Holy Ghost. Your sin is forgiven. There is something about the gospel that we carry. I tell you, one lady came to me one time, a young lady, and while in school, came to me and said, she's from other religions, but she is trying to become a Christian. And I was talking about the Holy Ghost. After I finished preaching about the Holy Ghost to me, I said, can I receive this Holy Ghost? I said, yeah, it's available. And I said, okay, I want to ask a question. So if I receive him, I hope it will not disturb me, going to mosques, if I go back home or carry my Quran and read it. And I said, well, I cannot tell you what you expect me to say, whether it is okay or it's not, but there's something I can tell you. If you receive the Holy Ghost, it will make a difference out of you. And I can assure you that. I will pray and she received the Holy Ghost. Month after, when she went back home for holidays, came back, he asked me, he said, sir, what did you do to me? I said, what? He said, myself and my sister were reciting Quran in the house. He said, and as we were reciting it, I began to speak in other tongues. And my mother heard me. Said, the mother came and was saying, what happened to you, Aisha? I said, what happened? What were you saying? Not knowing that the brother who was also screaming somewhere also has received Holy Ghost. So in the night, but the brother was so somehow quarrelling. So when the brother began to pray, the brother spoke in tongues. The lady also said, both of them began to speak in tongues in their rooms. When they spoke in tongues, the father said, stop that. As the father was saying to the Palomo Shakalaba, the father could not resist them. You know, I said, I told you that it will make a difference out of you. Praise the Lord. The gospel we carry is effective. If we don't receive a dead religion, then brothers and sisters, we are different. We are different. We are different. And that is why we must tell the whole world. Everybody that come in contact with you must hear about him. Must hear about Jesus. Very, very important. Number five. Why is it so important? It is important because Jesus said so. Jesus said so. He said we should go out and win so. That Matthew 28 where we read. And you know what? The greatest reason for so winning is that the greatest authority has told us to do it. Not to win souls is to disobey the greatest authority and to become perhaps the greatest rebel. If you don't preach the gospel, you are the most greatest rebel. You are the most disobedient human being. And that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Very quickly, benefit of soul winning. Number one, soul winning empower believers for dominion. If you are a soul winner, God empowered you for dominion. Luke 10, 17. When Jesus sent his disciples to go and preach, they came back with great joy. And they said, Lord, even the devil bow to us. That is dominion, power. When you begin to win, so God will invest in you power over every power of the devil. You remember what he promised us in Mark 16:15? He said that you will turn upon lion and scorpion. He said, nothing shall by enemy haunt you if you are a soul winner. Because God will never allow you to be haunted. Number two is that unspeakable joy. That John chapter 10, verse 17. The apostle came back with great joy. Luke 15, verse 7, the Bible says there is joy in heaven for every sinner that is saved. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 tells us that whatever you sow, you will reap. So if you sow joy in heaven, definitely you will reap joy on earth. If you can present soul and win soul to God, there will be joy in your life also. Number three, prayer answered. If you are a soul winner, your prayer is guaranteed to receive automatic answer. That is what Jesus said in John 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, gladly he will give it to you. Because you are a soul winner. Number five, eternal life. Eternal life. This is very, very important. You know, spreading the gospel to everyone, what it does is that it further cements your place in the heavenly admission list. Begin to win souls, it cements your name on heavenly admission list. So you are guaranteed to enter heaven if you are a soul winner. This is the greatest benefit of all. To me, this is the greatest benefit of all. Somebody once asked me, he said, do you believe in heaven? I said, yes. He said, do you believe in hell? I said, yes. He said, have you been to heaven? I said, no. He said, have you been to hell? I said, no. He said, now, why do you say that heaven is real and hell is real? I said, I know that heaven is real and hell is real because Jesus said that. And there is a story to back it up. Because Lazarus is in heaven. Abraham is in heaven and the rich fool, the rich man is in hell, and Jesus told me that they are in hell. And I said, okay, can you give me a physical description? I said, oh, very simple, I will give you a physical description. If you want to know how hell is this, just cook some firewood and put fire in it, put your hand in it, come back and come and tell me your experience. He said, I don't need to do that because I know what will happen. That's what you know that will happen is exactly what will happen in heaven, in hell. Because my Bible tells me that hell is real. And I told him, I said, I cannot tell you this is how hell is. For I can tell you, based on my knowledge of scripture, but I want to know more about heaven than hell, because I'm not planning to go to hell. I'm planning to go to heaven. Who are heaven's candidates here tonight? Come on, shout hallelujah. We must win so. It cemented our name on heavenly admission list. And we get there in the name of Jesus. How to win so? Number one, how to win so? Personal outreach. Personal outreach. There's a story in John chapter 1, verse 41 and verse 2. The Bible talks about, it said, he findeth his own brother Simeon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, a brother told another brother of his that I have found a savior. That is what we should do. People around you, you tell them. People around you, you tell them. And you bring them to church. Your family member that do not know Jesus, you talk to them. Your roommate that do not know Jesus, you talk to them. Your neighbor that do not know Jesus, you talk to them. Come to Jesus and you speak. You know, Pastor has told us, he said, nobody resists love. You say it in love. You don't condemn them. You don't condemn them. You speak to them in love. Tell them, no matter how, just come. Just come. God will meet with you. And God will perform miracles in their life. So, you see, personal evangelism is very, very effective. I believe that is the most effective way of winning soul. Because one of the advantages is that anybody can do it. Just anybody can do it. And then you can do it in any place. And you can do it at any time. Anytime you can do it. And then you can reach all classes of people. It is very, 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 very effective. Very effective. And it also empowered you to meet, it gives you an opportunity to meet with the need of the person. You can give the person what he needed, and then you use that opportunity to preach to the person. You come to Jesus. This is very, for me, and there are some, you know, churches that know how to do it very well. And I get the results. So, you know, I don't have the boldness to go out and talk to strangers. What are all the people around you? Start from your boyfriend. Speak to him. See, the way we are living our life is not good. Jesus did not like this. If we first look at you and say, hey, pastor. Yeah, I'm a pastor. I just want you to change. And he will not ask you, how did this start? It just started a few hours ago. So let's stop this thing. Let's live for God. You have a friend that takes you to clubs or buy drinks for you. Tell him, I don't have interest anymore. I want you to please change. Jesus love you. The word Jesus love you, just as simple as that word is powerful. Why? Because words are seed. I read a testimony of a brother who came born again. This guy was, you know, his father was a pastor. The father is late now. Why was a pastor of one Orthodox church, and he's very good, but suddenly something came over him, and he became a rebel child, and he neglected God, and became so white. But every time when the mother called, I just want to tell you that God, Jesus loves you. I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. Another pastor in his hometown will call, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. One day, he just woke up, and he woke up with the love of Jesus. With all of this, I'm still alive. I'm still alive with all of this. Now you hear that voice again, because Jesus loves you. But you know, he became a robber, he became, you know, all sort of evil, even kill people, join cultists, all sort of evil. And you see, every time, small time, when they're about to catch him, he will escape. Just small, he will escape. Accident, he will escape. He just woke up with the word. I'm still alive with all of this. He now heard a voice again. Jesus love you. So it's Jesus that is preserving you. I said, if Jesus loved me like this, I need to change. And God so good, somebody came to preach to him. I said, brother, Jesus loves you. And I said, okay, tell me about this Jesus that loved me. And I began to share with her the love of Jesus. Began to share with her, and the brother began to share tears, and that was it. She became born again. So the as far as small as that word is, as simple as it is, it's powerful. I mean, if you cannot even quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, if you don't even know John 3:16, the most simplest one, at least you can tell all that Jesus loves you. I mean, you can even say it jokingly, wow, Jesus loves you. He just loves you. He just loves you. You are sowing seed. You are sowing seed, and God loves it. Then number two is general outreach. General outreach. And this can be done via church outreaches or cell outreaches or any other outreach. You see, one of the importance of general outreach is that it helps you to develop confidence for personal soul winning. If you are a person that is timid to go alone, join group. That is what Jesus did. He sent out his disciples two by two, so that they can learn from each other. When you are with group, you are more bolder. There are some things you will naturally do. I mean, naturally not do if you are alone. But if you are in a group, you will do it. You will do it. I will just see people who, in a group, they can talk, but when it is one on one, they will not. Some people will misbehave when they are in the group. Or if, naturally, when they come to their own normal sense, they cannot behave like that. They can't behave like that. Why? Because there is synergy in group. Praise the Lord. Okay, so it's very important. Stop running away whenever the church calls for outreach or so with no evangelism. Stop staying behind. When your cell is going out for outreach or for someone, don't stop staying behind. Join them. It will help you. It will help you to develop confidence. So winning. Number three is prayer. Prayer. You pray. Jesus told us, said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of harvest will send in laborers. So prayer is very important. Matthew 9 verse 38. It's very, very important. So you can go on your knee and pray for that your relative that is not born again. Go on your knee. Bring their picture, call their name, tell them, Lord, I claim this life for Jesus. I snatch it away from the hand of the devil. In the name of Jesus, you will serve the Lord. You begin to talk to, you begin to speak, you begin to declare, you begin to pray. And God that has the heart of men in his hand will definitely save them. Lastly, is good character and conduct. Good character and good conduct. This is very, very important. You know, this is one of the things that hinders some people from preaching the gospel. But for me, that should not be an hindrance, because anybody can change anytime. If it is possible to change from good to bad, it is possible to change from bad to good in a day. So even if your character is questionable, you can change today and start winning soul today. John 4, Jesus met a woman who had asked five husbands and currently staying with somebody who is not married to her. The woman could not even come out at the normal time that order will come, because of stigma, because of ridicule, because of shame. But when he met Jesus and Jesus talked to her, instantly she ran into the city and became the first evangelist, and all that ran after her. And you know what the testimony after is? That others said, see, we come here not because of you. In other words, your character is questionable. We don't trust you. We don't trust your character. You are a sinner. But because of him, we became born again. So it doesn't matter. What they don't know is that woman has already changed. So it does not matter. But it will be okay if your life is lived in a godly way and godly manner. I mean, your life will just begin to preach Jesus. Your life will be preaching Jesus. When you live right, people will see the gospel in your life. When you live right, people will ask about your God. Romans chapter 1, I'll read from verse 16. Romans chapter 1, I'll read verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, One of the things that hinder people from witnessing to others is because they are ashamed. And it is dangerous to be ashamed. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So when you call, Father, in the name of Jesus, Jesus said, no, I'm ashamed of you because you are ashamed of me. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't beat me to it. I am not ashamed. I cannot keep it. Why? He said, because it's the power of God unto salvation. The word salvation is soterio. That is everything contained. It means healing. It means deliverance. It means saving soul. It means prosperity. It means blessing. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because that gospel, in that gospel, locked up the power to heal, the power to save, the power to transform. He said, and in that gospel, he said, the righteousness of God is revealed. Wow. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Why are you ashamed of preaching gospel? Why are you ashamed of preaching gospel? What is it that you are ashamed of? When you have the power of God with you, the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. The power to transform. The power to renew. The power to regenerate. The power to make alive. The power to resurrect. The power is locked up. In the gospel, I heard you praying to God, Lord, give me more power. You know, years ago, in schools, we were praying. Some group of people were praying. I was in drama. And we were praying because we were preparing for our drama night. We were praying. We were in marathon 3 days. And we were praying. Ma-la-ba-ba-ba-ba. Everybody was praying. And the prayer we were praying, the brother that was needing us, is that, Lord, endue me with power. And we pray for hours for that on that prayer point. And suddenly, I heard a voice that spoke to me. He said, what do you want to do with that power? Every time you pray, God, give me more grace, give me more anointing, brother and sister, what do you want to do with it? The power you already given, what have you done with it? That power of the gospel, what have you done with it? How many people have you saved? How many people have you talked to? You are even ashamed of carrying your Bible. You are even ashamed of telling others that you are born again. You are coming to church, you hide your Bibles. Brother, what is wrong with you? Sister, what is wrong with you? When I check your Facebook, when I check your Instagram, what are the things you are posting? You can post the shoes you bought. You can post the clothes you wear. You are even helping them marketing it. You are helping them market. Have you marketed Jesus? If I check your Facebook account and get your Instagram, can I see anything traceable to Jesus? Are you proud to be identified with him? Are you proud to be identified with him? You can't even say, I'm a Christian. Why? Because you are too timid. You are too timid of what will happen if you declare that you are a Christian. Look at you. That is why you cannot live an effective Christian life. Because you are ashamed of Jesus to identify with Jesus. Hey, why will you do that for God's sake? When Jesus is already with you, when Jesus is living inside of you, he wants to demonstrate his power through you. He wants to save the soul through you. He wants to save the lost through you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Are you ashamed of persecution? Mm-mm. Don't be ashamed of persecution. They have persecuted others. They are persecuting others. And they will also persecute others. Be happy to be among those that were persecuted for the gospel. Pay the price for the gospel. You know, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah was a prophet of God that preached his gospel at that time with boldness. He declared whether you want to hear it or not. And one day, they arrested him. They beat him. He was subject to persecution and they rejected him. They don't even want to hear his voice anymore. And the man became a castaway. And one day, he began to lament. What have I done? He now made up his mind. He said, oh, I will not preach this word of God anymore. I am tired. And in verse 9, the Bible says that the man tried to keep quiet. He said, his word, look as he said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, not speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart
as a burning fire locked up in my bones. I've received a word I cannot keep quiet. His word is like a fire in my heart and it locks up in my bone. Have you ever had an arthritis? Have you ever had issue with your bones? Have you ever had a bone dislocation? You see how painful it is. Have you ever had problem with your tooth? You see how painful it is. Jeremiah is saying that word was locked up in my bone. How will I keep quiet when I see sinners batting me, driving to hell? How will I keep quiet when I can see a man who is sick and when I pray for him he will be healed? How can I keep quiet? He said his word locked up within my bone. I need you to be like Jeremiah. I need you to be like Paul and declare his word. Come to the understanding that this is what you are sent to do. No matter the work you are doing, the career you have, preach the gospel. From today's post, be identified with Jesus. When you post, let it have the name Jesus. When you post, tell all that Jesus loves you. When you work with people, after all the work, after all the gist, after all the whatever, tell him Jesus loves you. Do you know Jesus? Tell others. He's counting on you. You know what? In Acts chapter 10, there is a man called Cornelius. The Bible describes him as a very devoted man. The Bible says he gives to people. The Bible says he prays to God. The Bible even went further to say that he feared God with all of his family and his household. What a man. But the man is not born again. One day when he was praying, the Bible says that the angel of God appeared to him. And when the angel appeared to him, the angel said to him, he said, your prayers and your giving of hands has come as a memorial before the Lord. That word memorial did not mean that God has answered your prayer. It's a legal word, a legal term that, you know, in court, when lawyers, you understand this, it's like a statement that you bring to the highest authority in the court. That is like that your fact, like your proof. The Bible says, all this prayer you'll be praying, all this arm you have been giving, he has come to me as a memorial. I want to intervene, but something is in between us. And the angel went forward and said, see, send to me, go to Joppa. And you know, God is wonderful. The angel of God described Simon Peter. He described his name, described his address, described the city, the number of his house, and the person he's staying with. He said, go and meet him. He will tell you words where you will be saved. I asked myself, why is it that the angel of God cannot automatically save the man? Why is it that the angel of God has to send him to Peter to save him? It is because as powerful as angels are, they do not have the power to win soul. The power to win soul has been given to believer. It has been given to believer. And every time God is giving opportunity to you to win souls, God is counting on you. Will you fail him? God is counting on you. Will you fail him? For how long are you going to keep quiet? For how long are you going to stay mute? For how long are you going to hide your identity? For how long are you going to, you know, be timid? But you've been Christian for years. You can't even, nobody even know you that you are a Christian. They're still looking at you. You are one egg in and one egg out, one egg in and one egg out, one egg in and one egg out. And others are looking at you. Is it Christian or what? Is it Christian or Christo? What is it? What kind of life is this? What kind of life is this? Make up your mind. God is counting on you. God is counting on you. You carry the world. You carry the world that saves souls. God has been sending souls to you. What have you done with that opportunity? Make up your mind today. You are going to preach the gospel and you are going to preach it with boldness. Even if they will kill you, let them kill you and you enter heaven. Even if they will deny you of every right that is belong to you, that is a right that nobody can deny you of, that only God can give to you. Will you preach the gospel? Are you ready to surrender everything and lay hold to him who is the owner of everything? Can you please rise to your feet tonight?
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.